You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, ballyhooed buddies buzzing for beaver bits. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 148. I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your slightly sleepy, sleek Slytherins, slavishly slamming Slurpees.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
I'm a Ravenclaw, Karen.
I know, we're all Ravenclaws. I know,
but we all are. Yeah, but I'm Chris. Yeah.
So before we get started here, I have a fun note to share from our website. On the dating episode a couple episodes back, I talked about the awkward double date where my roommate and friend took some girls to see Reservoir Dogs. And so that got to be a little too much for the girls. They got up and walked to see Last of the Mohicans, which was playing in the theater right next
door. And you guys stayed.
We stayed. Yeah.
You stayed on your date.
They were new to dating, maybe, or something.
We were invested in the movie.
They were new to dating.
Right. It could be.
Matt writes in and notes, quoting moviebodycounts.com. Okay.
Is, of course, a website.
Yes. Yeah. The total deaths in Reservoir Dogs equals 12. Mm-hmm. Total deaths in The Last of the Mohicans equals 172.
Mm.
So Matt thinks that we made the less violent choice by staying to watch the end of Reservoir Dogs.
You know, it's all about context.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what, like 3 billion people die in Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
They blow up
all
around.
It's just it's how up close and personal
actually,
are the deaths.
Well, no, how's the con? So I'm on moviebodycounts.com. It says, highest body count movies. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, 836.
Now, are they
so
counting
orcs?
So it has
to be on screen.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well,
characters. You have to actually see the body of
the person. Yeah, so if you're like, I blew up a planet, like, I don't know.
Right,
that doesn't
count.
So Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, 836. Huh. So compared to Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
That's a good trivia.
That is. And it's also, it's time for another one of our correction clarification segments.
Actually,
surprisingly enough, it was not our Marvel quiz. I was anticipating for a lot of nitpicking. We got a few, but mostly it's for our last episode. The doctor is in. We talked about medical stuff. Colin, you talked about defibrillators and resuscitating people on TV. And someone wrote, you kept calling a defibrillator an AED or automatic external defibrillator throughout the TV trope segment. But an AED is a very specific type of device designed to be used by someone much less trained.
For both things, right. The AED is like the kind of thing you'll see like out in a field, like in a public place or something. It's not necessarily the kind they would have at a hospital, like the more pro level. But yeah, someone else also wrote in and mentioned that, you know, the ones you see in the public places, they don't really have the gel and the pads. Those are like just like a little sticky. You just like peel off the back of a sticker and just stick it on. They're pre-sticky. Yeah, yeah. So there is a difference between the ones in the hospital and the ones that you'll actually see as a person out in the world somewhere. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, apparently like a lot of restaurants have them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like any public spaces.
Airports, stadiums, you know, anywhere where there's a lot of people. Yeah.
Technically, we can use them. If it comes down to that.
All right.
Because really, you just, it's automatic versus the ka-chung one from the hospital.
Right, which is what you want to use.
What you actually want to use.
But, you know,
But yeah, you're not going to be expected to do the gel and shout out the clear and all that stuff in public. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
You want to. Yeah. All right, and it's time for our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot. Here we have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your Warning Radio Zoo buzzers. Here we go. This card is from 1990s.
Okay.
90s Trivial Pursuit.
The Genius Edition, or?
Just 90s.
Oh, 90s trivia. Oh, okay. Yeah. So everything has to do with
the
90s. Oh.
In particular, this is 1995.
Oh, all right.
1995.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
I was alive then.
Let me tell you something. We went to WrestleMania. We were walking out of WrestleMania, and there was a kid in front of us talking to us, and he was like, oh, I don't know that person. Did they wrestle during the 19 years? And I kind of realized, like, any year starting with 19 to this child is a far off, never happened yet.
During
the 19 not even,
years.
not the 90s or the 80s, that just everything is all lumped together into the 19 years.
The 1920
years. Flappers, Pee Wee Herman, everything.
It's the same. It's the same.
All right. Wow.
One foot in the grave.
Yeah. 1995, here we go. Pink Wedge, who slipped from Britain's second richest person to 17th when her home art collection was deemed national property? Dana.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, the second.
Yeah.
The Queen Elizabeth. Yeah. Sure. The one who was alive in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Yellow Wedge. What spineless video game superhero fights evil with the help of Snot and Peter Puppy?
Oh.
Chris.
Earthworm Jim.
Correct. Brown Wedge. What film follows Sharon Dion, named after great singers of the past that now do infomercials? Chris.
Clueless.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
All right. Orange Wedge. What Calvin Klein waif inspired New York subway riders to scrawl "Feed me" on her ads? Colin.
That's got to be Kate Moss.
Kate Moss. Why are you cracking up?
Does it say ass on the Trivial Pursuit card?
What?
Abs.
Oh, abs. You said ass.
Ads.
I really thought. Oh, ads.
Ads.
Not abs.
Ads. I thought you said abs.
I thought you said ass.
I thought you said ass. Ads. Wow.
I thought you were writing "Feed me" on her ass.
All right. Green Wedge. What Arab leader was asked to leave a Lincoln Center concert for world leaders at the order of Mayor Rudy Giuliani?
1995.
Lincoln Center in New York.
Okay. I don't think.
Concert for
Gaddafi wasn't allowed here. Arab leader. 1995.
Saddam Hussein.
No.
The look on Karen's face is like, you guys.
Pass.
Was it...
Colin, yes.
Was it Arafat?
Yes!
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good job, brain!
Yeah. You're just trying to think back. Okay, yeah, who would have been traveling around? Okay, yeah. All right.
All right, last question, Blue Wedge. Who illustrated Jimmy Carter's children's book, The Little Baby Snoogle Fleeger?
I'm sorry, wow. Can you please read that question one more time?
Who illustrated Jimmy Carter, former U.S. president?
I thought that's what you said.
Okay,
all right.
Jimmy Carter's children's book, titled The Little Baby Snoogle Fleeger.
Wow.
It's from 1995?
Yes.
1995.
I did not know he wrote a children's book.
Dolly Parton.
What? No.
I'm just taking a stab in the dark. I don't know.
It makes sense, Chris.
Oh, it makes sense.
Oh, Al Gore.
No.
Maurice and Nick.
Amy Carter.
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, 90s.
All
right. Good job. Woo. Good job. Totally radical brains.
Oh, more 90s Trivial Pursuit cards.
Yeah.
God, I thought like 2015 just started, but now it's already springtime.
Yeah. No, we already did our taxes and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's true. God, it's such a blur.
I know.
When does spring officially start? Oh, when groundhog says.
No.
Yes, right?
I think it was March 2020.
First?
Yeah.
March
it starts 20th, in the equinox, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Spring equinox.
Yeah.
So it's officially springtime.
I think so, right?
And yeah.
Okay, sure.
Love is in the air.
It's a lot.
Also,
it's a lot warmer.
And also, springtime is probably my least favorite part of the year because that means we have spring cleaning. Mm. And I hate cleaning. And I'm a very messy person. And I have a very messy house. And I'm very lazy.
You only clean once a year. But yeah. This is it.
This is it.
Time.
This is the one time.
It's you know, it's like... You don't want to do it in the winter, but like when it starts, you know, the weather is nice. It's like, okay, all right, I can tackle some of these projects, clean out the house, throw out the garbage.
Believe you.
Our focus this year has been on getting stuff out of the house.
Yeah.
Getting rid of old books, old music, old whatever, knickknacks, just junk we've been hanging on to. We're kind of pack rats.
Junk. Yeah.
So much junk.
And then, you know, you have to like kind of, use your brain and decide. That's the that's the hard training part. It's decide. Do you know? Is this worth it? What I need in the future? I don't know.
And you know, as they say, one man's trash is another man's treasure. But a lot of it is just trash.
Totally trash.
So
it's
figuring out what is trash and what is treasure.
So in the spirit of this, this week, this episode, we're gonna be talking about trash,
garbage.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty, anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. It's a more rotten.
Well, folks, in the grand tradition of me going above and beyond the call of duty for Good Job Brain, really gilding the lily on this one.
Tooting your own horn.
Exactly. Yeah. Just going crazy on one of these episodes. I have done what I don't think any of you guys have done. I have brought with me to this recording an actual piece of garbage that I'm sure you'll all love to see. I'll pass it around right now.
Oh, whoa.
Here it is. It's an actual, yes, folks, a real piece of trash pulled out of a real landfill.
Wow!
It is one of the Atari games that was recently dug up in my very presence out of a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. It was dug up last summer as part of the documentary Atari Game Over, which you can watch now. That was sent to me courtesy of the city of Alamogordo with a...
Because it's their property.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we dug it up out of an old landfill, and now
everyone's got a very official-looking metal tag on it.
I mean, you can tell... It was buried in the desert under piles and piles. Yeah. It was all dry. There was no light, no moisture. So, I mean, it's a copy of the Atari game Defender. Defender was the most common game that they actually found down there. And just to recap the story really quickly, when Atari was losing a lot of money in 1983, instead of dealing with their returned games and refurbishing them and try to sell them, they decided to just junk them. They threw them away. They worked out a deal with Alamogordo that said, we will bury them. We'll dig a hole and we'll bury them. And this is what they were doing with their garbage in this landfill. Is that they don't do this anymore because modern landfills are very high-tech operations with like liners and things like that. And it's all very high-tech. For something that's been buried for a couple of decades, it looks pretty good.
I know.
I think it's safe to say we are all savvy computer users here. Four of us,
safe to say.
We've all mastered such...
I know about Control F.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was just reading, not a lot of people do. So.
Wait. Really?
Yeah.
Like, to find things?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, maybe we're very savvy.
As I said, we're advanced.
Most people's
we're
like,
pretty savvy for like people being born in the 19
in the,
years.
In the 19 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
For old timers.
Yeah.
We've all mastered such high level concepts as Control F, as Chris noticed, and throwing files away. I would like to talk about using the trash on the computer. That process we kind of take for granted. It's relatively new, meaning a two-step process. You know, that if you're on your computer, you have a file, I'm done with it, you put it in the trash, and then it'll just sort of sit there and hang out until you're ready to go ahead and say, oh, okay, now empty the trash and delete it. And, you know, then it's gone forever. In the old days, it was delete. You know, you delete this file, it's deleted. You know, the idea of it hanging out somewhere was sort of a relatively modern development.
This was so controversial when they introduced it, I remember, into Windows, because it was like, no, I'm trying to delete this file. I don't want it anymore. You know, I was very, in the DOS days, I was very, like, particular about, I know what files are on my hard drive, and I know how much space I have in my hard drive, and it's like, I delete something, I know, I want to delete it. And this whole idea of, like...
You're right, I mean...
I trashed it, but it's still there.
It's still there. That's, you know, we take that for granted now.
Right.
It's a relatively, in terms of computer, you know, time, it's relatively recent. Now, I mean, you may not call it the trash at all, depending on your system.
Oh.
We all colloquially, of course, call it the trash. You take a file on your computer, you put it in the trash, and then depending on your computer, maybe you have to empty the trash separately. It's sitting there. But, you know, the trash with capital T, that's a Macintosh term only.
Yes.
The trash, you are an Apple Mac user. If you're on Windows, many of you out there right now, I'm sure you know it is The recycling bin.
Yeah.
Recycling bin.
So 90s.
It is very 90s. Mm-hmm. In fact, the recycling bin debuted with
Windows 95.
95. That's where the recycling bin came in. You might think that recycling bin was maybe Microsoft trying to be cute or just to tweak Apple a little bit, but no, in fact, trash, capital T for that purpose, is copyrighted by Apple. They, you know, they had a whole bunch of lawsuits in the 90s over a bunch of features of their operating system. And for a variety of reasons, they lost a lot of those suits, but they did, the judges did agree, no, trash, you own it. So any other operating system, they'll come after you. They'll come after you. They won't let you call it trash. Let me ask you guys, what kind of trash users are you? So there's the kind of person who file goes in the trash, you delete the trash immediately. Then there's the kind of person who their trash is kind of like a pseudo backup hard drive of recent mistakes, you know? It's like, just in case, I'll just put it in there. What about you guys? Karen, I can tell by the look on your face that you're the latter kind of person.
No, I'm neither.
Oh, really?
I'm the third type where I don't...
You never think about it?
Think about it.
No, I never put anything in the trash.
I don't delete a whole lot of files anymore. Just because
we have search.
Storage space has grown to the point where it's like, I don't really need those, you know, 100 kilobytes back for this text file. Like, I'll just leave it here because maybe I'll need it one day.
On the early days of a lot of systems, like on the Mac OS in particular, the trash was stored in, you know, what they call volatile memory, like temporary memory, meaning when you shut the machine off, you know, at the end of the day or whatever, whatever was in the trash went away.
Oh, okay.
So the idea of a, you know.
It wasn't just taking the file and changing it to a different location on the drive. It was actually deleting it, but it was holding it in a separate memory just in case.
And that need.
It's a failsafe.
That need to have the failsafe is really what drove that change on, you know, on all the major operating systems. It's just to give you a chance to change your mind.
Also, I think in the recent iOS update, when I used to delete pictures, they're gone. But now there's a recently deleted album, and it counts down the days until they're really going to be gone.
The TiVo system does the same with television shows. They're recently deleted. And I think that we've all, as modern tech users, like, we have this sort of in the back of our minds now. It's really hard to permanently delete things. So let's say that you did indeed go ahead and do something dumb. You delete a file, you find out the next day you need, but luckily enough, you have undelete software. How does undelete software work? How can you undelete something?
Yeah, because, I bet it just clones it.
No. It doesn't. Well, so you're talking about back in the day, right?
Yeah.
When a file is deleted, it's not scrubbed from your hard drive, as so many cyber criminals learn when, like, their hard drives get seized and the illicit documents that were on there, you know, they recover them. Because it doesn't delete them. It just tells the OS, like, oh, hey, you know, spaces here through here are now empty space, and you can rewrite them if you want. That's how it deletes a file.
You can write on top of it.
It says here, it says, we don't want, you can just rewrite this. What it doesn't go back and do is rewrite all the zeros and ones with a string of zeros.
Long story short, if you want to trash something and be sure it's, you know, deleted beyond just basic retrieval options, you want to look for, like, secure erase or secure delete or something like that. Or barring that, you may just want to consider destroying your computer.
As far as cutesy metaphors go, I think if you have McAfee, it's like the shredder.
Yes, the shredder also as well. Yep.
The move to recycling bin in Windows was, I think, one of the very first steps with Windows 95 in general, definitely was, of we, the end users, losing a little bit of control over where things were on our hard drives and what was going on with our computers. When you used to run DOS, you know, like, it would just be like, C prompt. What do you want to do?
Yeah,
what do you want to do with your
files? That's all we have here.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like everything is laid bare. Now, my own computer, I go and it's like, oh, you don't have access to this folder. It's like, get the heck out of here. I don't have access to this folder. What do you mean I don't have access to this folder?
This is my computer.
Yeah. Right. Hal, open the pod bay door.
Meanwhile, every listener who runs only from the command line out there, they're all just laughing at us. Graphic user. Interface.
Well, you know what? I don't know how you downloaded this podcast then.
Burn.
You're listening to it as a MIDI.
Beep, boop, boop.
So here is a word game that you guys get to play, and I'm glad we have everybody here for intense competition.
All right.
About these, I have some words that I feel have too many letters in them, and they're just, you're going to need to trash. You're going to need to send some of these letters to the recycle bin.
All right.
See what you did there.
And throw them out to get a newer, better word.
All right.
So for example, I might say, take a word meaning a part of a chicken that people eat, and trash one letter to get something that you put on your head. Oh!
Wing and wig.
Yay, there we go.
Yeah.
You get 0 points because that was, of course,
the example.
The example. You fast. May, if you have trouble, you may, I mean, maybe you won't have trouble, but if you do, you may want to try to work backwards, like maybe the hint for the shorter word is easier than the other one. Anyway, I'm just giving you guys some hints, you know, so you can kind of,
All right.
Yeah, okay. So, here is the first real one. Here we go. Take a word meaning to swell up and trash one letter to get a seaworthy vessel. Colin.
Bloat. Yes. Trashes an L for boat.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
Colin is the man to beat on this quiz. There, all step right. it up. Whew. Take a word meaning to pay out money and trash a letter to get a word meaning moved quickly. Oh, whoa. I'll go with Dana.
Spend and sped.
Spend and sped.
Spend. Yes. Sped. Sped.
Pay out money and moved quickly. Now take a word meaning to fly and trash one letter to get something you would use on a canoe. Whoa, Karen.
Soar and oar.
Soar and
I was
oar.
Like,
very
what's
good.
A soar? What's a
I like soar? The, I like, yeah, you like wow. your time to get on you, the false
wow,
avenues.
Wow, so you got the right word first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a certain farm animal and trash one letter to get a word that means to flow or leak slowly through porous material or holes. Dana.
Is it horse and hose?
It is not.
Oh.
Karen.
Sheep and seep.
Sheep and seep, yes.
Though I was thinking, maybe, I was like, maybe goose and ooze, but I know it's spelled differently,
yeah,
but
right.
that would be funny.
A goose.
Ooze.
Goose.
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 Take a word for something that bears the weight of a car and trash one letter to get something that bears the weight of your body.
Bears the weight?
Yes. Yeah. Colin.
Is this shocks and socks?
It is not. Your socks do not actually, they're not load-bearing devices. Dana.
Shocks and hocks?
Not so much.
Because that's your...
Oh, that's true.
Hocks, right? That's like true. Those are your legs.
Yeah.
You know what? Partial credit.
Yeah. Oh, shoe and feet.
No, no, that's not it.
Feet, arches.
Of the car.
Wheel and heel.
You didn't buzz in, so you don't get any. Wheel and heels with shocks and hocks, though.
Shocks and hocks.
Take a word for a popular toroidal breakfast confection and throw out one letter to get a popular English language contraction.
Popular English language contraction.
A popular toroidal breakfast confection.
Donut and don't.
It's not Jeopardy, but yes. Yes, donut and don't.
Trash the U.
Yes, trash the U to get don't. Finally, take a word for one of the smallest species of edible onions and trash one letter to get a place where certain insects hang out. Colin.
Chive and hive.
Chive and hive.
I was thinking
very
shallot.
Good.
Yeah.
Shallot and...
I was like spring and ring.
No. Yeah, I started chive with shallot as well.
Chive
yeah.
and hive. There you go. All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Trash well, them letters.
Trash them letters.
All right, I have a general trash quiz for you guys.
General trash quiz.
You said it was really intense beforehand.
Oh yeah,
it's like it covers a wide span of things. Like I could go deep on most of these. So that's I'm going to inflict that on you guys.
All right,
okay.
I'll try to make it fun as well. Sorry, that sounded like a
fun
punishment.
Fun is a tertiary consideration.
As well, I hope you enjoy it
to the extent that you can.
Time allowing.
We're so nerdy.
Yeah. General trash. Reporting for duty. All right. First question. Is the 5-second rule a thing? Is it true or false?
Well, okay, technically no, but at the same time, I'd much rather eat something that's been down there for 5 seconds versus something that's been down there for 5 days.
Oh. Okay.
So 5 second rule is you drop yeah. food on the floor. If you pick it up within 5 seconds,
it's fine.
It's fine to eat. Yeah. It's as if it that, didn't fall on the floor.
That's not
right.
true.
Right. Yeah. It is right. false. Right. It is false.
Right.
Bacteria can be transferred within milliseconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, you know, some things pick up more bacteria than others when they fall down. Yeah. So Mythbusters did a thing and they found that, like a irregularly shaped sausage picked up bacteria faster than gummy bear would or
whatever. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
I guess that's
because it's wet.
Yeah.
It's, gummy bears is not wet. Like,
I have the highly scientific technique of I pick it up and I blow on it first before I eat it.
So you blow the bacteria off.
If like the pretzel on the ground, the bacteria can't hang on. Yeah.
Right. Depending on what it is, I might wash it off.
Sure.
Like, I might wash the sausage off.
True. If it can bear water, for sure.
Right, exactly.
A cookie, maybe not.
Right. As they say, you can't wash a cookie.
You see, I've actually thought about this before. Okay, so Oscar the Grouch from Sesame Street lives in a trash can. In the first season of Sesame Street, he was not green.
Yeah.
He was a different color. What color was Oscar the Grouch?
I did not.
He was orange.
Yes.
Why did they change him? Do you know?
Market testing. I don't know.
Well, they put real trash in the trash can for a while. And it wasn't so much that they... Yeah, yeah.
Oxidation.
Oscar the Grouch oxidized.
So what band is famous for the song Stupid Girl and I'm Only Happy When It Rains? Karen.
Garbage.
They co-produced and performed the theme song to what James Bond movie?
Garbage?
Yeah, Garbage Day.
They co-produced the theme song.
Oh my God.
Okay. So timing-wise...
Late
90s. It's not GoldenEye because that's Tina Turner.
Right.
Yeah. It's not any of the Daniel Craig because that was Chris Cornell.
It's got to be pre-Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Early... It's not Die Another Day because that's Madonna.
Wait. I buzzed in.
Well, then what's
the
your answer?
The world is not enough.
The world is not enough.
Yeah!
So, two things that you should not throw in the garbage. There are a lot of things you shouldn't throw in the garbage, but two of them
babies?
That you should not. Well, I mean, I'm not even talking about babies. A long list of things you should not throw in the garbage, but two of the ones that you shouldn't throw in the garbage are CFL light bulbs and batteries. So, let's start with CFL light bulbs. What does CFL stand for?
We had this at Pub Quiz. Compact fluorescent lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not light.
Not light. And of course, they gave people points for light because
too lenient, but it's lamp.
Too lenient.
You're right. So why can't you throw them away?
They have mercury
in them. Because of the coating,
they do.
Right?
They have mercury in them. They have a little bit of mercury
in them. So if you break a compact compact fluorescent light, you have to air the place out.
Open the windows. Yep. You use paper to kind of scoop it up.
Yep.
Put it in a plastic bag or a jar that you can seal.
Yeah.
And then what?
Most, you know, garbage pickup or, you know, garbage companies will. Yeah. If you like leave it next to your garbage cans, they can see what it is. Like they'll handle it. Yeah.
So they have mercury in them, but you know, old thermometers had like 100 times more, 120 times more.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I went back to my parents' place in March and I got sick. My mom's just like, you should probably take your temperature. I'm like, yeah, I'll go take my temperature. I am not even kidding you. I go to their medicine cabinet and she hands me the thermometer and they've still got their old mercury thermometer.
Old trusty.
From old reliable. Yeah. And I'm like, mom, you know, they've made incredible advances in digital thermometer technology, right? Like you don't have to use this actually dangerous.
Or just the normal red one.
Where you literally, I mean, I'm standing there like shaking, you know, you just shake it out.
Yeah, you shake it down. You have to shake it down.
I'm like, why am I doing this?
He hasn't missed a fever since 1956.
Reliable.
Okay, so batteries, the other thing on this list that you can't throw away. So you can't throw away batteries because they're made with heavy metals and they're poisonous and it breaks down eventually in the landfills and will leach into the ground. So you can't throw away most just regular batteries.
So what do they do with them?
They recycle them. So they are recyclable. They go through this whole process and they could basically make the battery again with
the
old battery.
That makes me feel good.
But 9-volt batteries, those are really interesting. You should not throw those away. You should not keep them in a drawer and just in your junk drawer. 9-volt batteries.
The Do they still make them?
Yeah, the ones for your smoke detectors, the rectangular ones with the two things on top.
Why?
Yeah, why?
It's because they have both of their little nodes on top.
The positive and the negative are right next to each other.
So if it's next to, like, it touches aluminum foil or it touches a paperclip.
It just
starts running. It makes a spark.
Yeah.
And if you have, like, a Post-it in there, you burn your house down. Like, you started a fire in your house. Or it could happen in the garbage so easily if you put the battery in the garbage with something
metal.
Well, since
most people only use them for their smoke alarms. The obvious solution is to throw them all away.
Yeah.
That's so weird. You're right.
It's crazy. Yeah. But I have another battery question for you guys. This one will come up in trivia for sure. Those electrodes on the top and bottom of the battery, like the positive and the negative.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what they're called? What's the positive and what's the negative?
Is it anode? Is it anode
is the negative one,
cathode?
The flat one.
Cathode is the plus. My high school chemistry teacher would be happy.
And then finally, this one is about recycling. So the country's first rubbish sorting plant for recycling was organized in 1898.
Wow.
But it wasn't until 1990 that Coke and Pepsi announced that they'd be using recycled PET bottles made out of 25% recycled plastic for their bottles.
Oh, I remember. That was a big deal. The curvy plastic bottles.
Yeah. What does PET stand for?
Oh, polyethylene... Triskaidekaphobia.
Oh, you're so close.
Oh, no. That's
polyethylene.
Uh-huh.
And then terephthalate.
Okay.
Phthalate,
yeah.
PET is much easier.
You guys were also close, like, in knowing the answer.
Yep.
That's
In Japan, plastic bottle is PET bottle. They say.
Oh, really?
Petto bottle.
Really? Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I like this. Yeah. Especially when you say it like that.
Right.
You say I'm a bunny.
Yay!
Oh, good job, you guys.
Woo! All right, let's take a quick break here and a word from our sponsor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain. This week, we're talking about things that are trashy.
Oh, no.
Or trash. Sorry.
Just trash.
Just trash. I got confused. So this week I decided to talk about trash talking, which is my favorite kind of trash. No, it's not. I don't trash talk. I'm not very good. So here I have a quick quiz about trash talking. You are so excited.
I love
Colin.
Trash talk. Yeah. When you said you were going to talk about
it, it's very sport related.
It is.
You don't trash talk. Like if you're angry, it's like pure
profanity.
It's like pure fire. It's not trash. It's like, you're not talking smack. You're angry.
Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah. So, well, in sports, we have a lot of trash talking. In basketball, you usually call it trash talking. In what sport do they call it chirping?
Chirping.
Sounds very British.
Rugby.
Something.
No.
Incorrect.
Cricket.
Incorrect.
Water
that
polo.
Would have been perfect, actually. Cricket.
Oh, yeah.
And chirping. Yeah.
No, what is that? Is that baseball?
Football?
Is it baseball?
Soccer?
Hockey?
Soccer.
What the British call football?
You're just naming stuff. You're
like, well, yeah, it's
jackal.
Just naming
jackal.
Stuff?
Jackal?
Eventually, you're
going to say
it. Right?
Hockey. Oh, yeah. Okay. Chirping hockey. Cricket does have a term.
Get out.
Trash talking is a big part of cricket.
What is it?
It's called sledging.
Sledging.
Ooh, that's
it's not like cullywobbles or something.
Cullywobbles.
Dana, this is a family show.
There are two urban legends of why they call it sledging.
Okay.
Both sound equally weird.
Okay.
I can't, not one is like, oh yeah, I can see how that worked.
Sure.
So the two of them is, one person's words are so strong, it hits you like a sledgehammer.
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Maybe.
And another one is BBC's Pat Murphy says, my understanding is that came from the mid 60s and a guy called Graham Corling apparently suggested that this guy's wife was having an affair with another teammate. And when he came in to bat, he started singing When a Man Loves a Woman.
I was going to joke.
By Percy Sledge. So he was annoying.
He was the first one.
Yeah.
Was sledging him.
I thought it was Sister Sledge, maybe.
Oh, yeah. We are family.
Yeah.
We don't know why.
I'd much rather it be that. I think the first one sounds more like the sledgehammer. No, I think the sledgehammer one sounds more like somebody made it up after the fact because it sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, it's too right.
Yeah. I think sledging, as in singing a Percy Sledge song at someone, has more of a ring of
truth. You got sledged.
Yeah. It's got sledged, bro.
All right. Also, sticking with sports, I Am the Greatest is a spoken word album released in 1963 by what athlete, which is a collection of his best poetic trash talking. I need the name of the person who made this album.
Yeah.
Colin.
What year?
1963.
Was that Cassius Clay?
Yes!
Yeah. Because she was being tricksy.
I would have said Muhammad Ali, but then you clarified.
Yeah. Not Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, before his name change. And, I mean, obviously, trash-talking sports has been since sports started. There's no one person. But Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, probably is the most visible and memorable trash talker.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. Poems, yeah.
Very poetic, very eloquent. He made it into kind of an art, and I Am the Greatest is a whole spoken word album. And, like, the different tracks are named after rounds, which is really cute. His reputation for some mad trash talking. The Roast. The Roast is an event where a lot of people, basically, they're honoring somebody by saying jokes about them, roasting.
Putting them down.
Yeah. Trash talking.
Yeah.
What place was the first place to host the roast?
I'll guess the Friars Club?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friars Club. Can you name me the first person who got roasted?
The very first. Wow. Wow. Man. So like.
Frank Sinatra. Dean Martin.
Joey Bishop.
This is 1949.
Okay.
His Holiness the Pope.
I bet it'll be a name that we recognize, but probably won't guess.
Nope, I have no idea.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Maurice Chevalier.
Maurice Chevalier. Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, he was a very popular, you know, singer and, you know, like Thank Heaven for Little Girls. That was Maurice Chevalier.
That's weird.
It was a little weird. I agree. I'm not saying it wasn't.
I mean, it was a 1949 roast ground.
He was the first person who got the Friars Club roast.
That's a good bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think they used to, when Comedy Central started airing them, they were just airing the Friars Club roast.
Now it's like.
But after a few, it's like Comedy Central just does it themselves now.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there was the famous run of like the Dean Martin roasts there.
Yeah. But they're still there. They're still at the Friars Club.
Yeah.
Now it's like in a Comedy Central studio. I don't know.
Gotcha.
And one last tidbit about trash talking. There is a ritual known as flighting.
Flighting.
F-L-Y-T-I-N-G.
Hmm.
And this is basically rap battle for the olden days. Between, like, in the 5th century, in so many cultures, in Norse mythology, in European history, flighting is a spectacle, is a thing. It's a rap battle. It's between one person and another person, and they just basically trash talk each other.
It's like your mama.
It is. It's like, it's wild and out. It's all of this stuff. They used to have courts. They used to have people perform, and they would say, obviously it's not rapping, but they would say things that's like related to your mom or your sister or your poop, but just sounds so beautiful. It's, you know, even in Shakespeare, some of the plays, they have a little bit of back and forth. Flighting.
Ooh.
Flighting.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have any fun examples of flighting? I'm so eager now.
So, example is, this is translated.
Okay.
I will no longer keep it secret. It was with thy sister. Thou hadst such a son, hardly worse than thyself.
Ooh.
Ooh, zing.
I like it.
It's totally,
Yo Mama Jones.
It's like Yo Mama. Yeah.
Olden humor is really similar to what little kids like. Like, they love puns in the olden days. It was like the highest form of comedy. They loved that. I was all about Yo Mama
Jones. Oh, I love Yo Mama Jones when I was a kid.
I thought they were really clever at the time.
What's your favorite one?
Oh, God. It was like, it's mean now when I think about it, but it's like, Yo Mama's so fat, she jumped up in the air and got stuck or whatever. Or
my favorite is when Yo Mama sat on a rainbow, Skittles popped out.
Yeah. Your mama's so skinny, she has to run around in the shower to get wet. She can, like, hula hoop with a Cheerio. So stupid.
I like that it covers both ends of the spectrum. Yeah. Your mama's so fat and your mama's so skinny. Yeah. We're going to concentrate.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure your mama's so average.
Yeah. Your mama's such an average size lady. Like,
she buys clothes right off the rack.
Yeah. Burn.
So, speaking of garbage, I think we should all have a long national conversation about the Mobro 4000. Yes, that's right. The Mobro 4000.
What is
the Mobro 4000? It captivated America one spring. Hot spring. Yeah, you've probably heard of it or seen it referenced. Let me take you back to the waning 19 years. the spring of 1987.
Okay.
Wow.
Ronald Reagan was finishing up his second term as president, and the Tracy Ullman show was days away from debuting an experimental cartoon called The Simpsons. In the midst of all of this, one entrepreneur and one mafia boss had a dream. They dreamed
Were they
of
two people?
Yeah, two people.
Oh, okay.
Two people. This was their dream. Their dream was taking garbage from New York City, which it had quite a bit of, to North Carolina. And in North Carolina, they'd be able to sell that garbage for $5 a ton.
What?
Why would the good people of North Carolina do this? Well, they were running a program in North Carolina, an experimental pilot program, where they would turn the garbage into methane for energy. You'd pack it very carefully into the ground and wait for a couple of years until the garbage started producing methane. But then, instead of just sort of like letting the methane float off into the atmosphere, which is typically what happens, it was a controlled burn. You know, it was sort of like very, set up in such a way that they could put the methane into pipes, collect it, and then use it for energy. And somehow, for some reason, New York made so much more garbage than North Carolina did that they were ready to import some garbage. So a businessman named Lowell Harrelson teamed up with Salvatore Avellino, who was in the quote-unquote forever waste disposal business. That's the mafia.
That's the mafia guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes. They teamed up. One guy had the barge and the other guy had the garbage because he was in the trash biz. To ship 3,000 tons of ripe New York City garbage down the East Coast by barge to North Carolina.
This is coming back to me now.
Where the trash would be given a hero's welcome.
It's here!
Little children.
I see it.
As the open barge of trash rolls into shore and then purchased and then buried in North Carolina and used in the production of methane in this pilot program. That was what was supposed to happen. What actually happened was the barge of garbage, and I mean, to look at it, you could tell it was a ship piled with 3,000 tons of garbage.
Yeah.
Caught the eye as it came in of a local news crew, which of course runs with the story on North Carolina TV that the good people of New York City were looking to foist their garbage onto the good people of North Carolina. And of course there was a public outcry before the garbage could be offloaded. And finally this ended with days later, after it had been sitting there, North Carolina state officials saying, no go.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home. But you can't stay here.
Yeah, they were like, New York City.
Exactly. Pretty much.
Didn't know about it?
Well, no, the company that was going to buy it knew about it, but when it was now on the news, it was like, what? Garbage?
Garbage.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to bury your own garbage. We're not going to bury your garbage here. So the legitimate businessmen behind this operation now try their luck with Louisiana. So they sail the garbage, sail the garbage ship, down from North Carolina,
just down into the Gulf Coast,
down around Florida, and up around other in the Gulf of Mexico, and other up in Louisiana. So now the garbage ship has been on the water for weeks. It heads down to Louisiana because they're improvising.
Aren't they like looking for like, hey, you guys got a methane operation by any chance? Dude, thought we'd ask.
They had found a place in Louisiana that would take it, but it sails to Louisiana. But now it's becoming national news, and Louisiana is like, no, they don't want it either, because nobody wants to be the guy who signs off on the importation of garbage. So now what starts happening is what enters into the narrative of this thing is that the barge may have infectious, hazardous waste on it. And people start talking about like, oh, well, we can't have this because who knows what's in there. It's New York's garbage. It's heroin needles.
There's no manifest of garbage.
Yeah. Right. The narrative that spins up about this is that America has run out of space to put its garbage.
I vaguely remember. I mean, it's kind of young.
And that's why.
This.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was a huge deal, and that's why it's on the ship. Now, this was not actually true. It was an entrepreneurial deal gone wrong. But people are saying, "Is oh my God, we have nowhere to put the garbage, and so now it's just stranded on a ship." They try Florida. They try other places. They go to Mexico. They go to Mexico and they don't want the garbage. They go to Belize. It's the Carmen San Diego of refuge.
Now it's gone international. Yeah.
Sailing the garbage ship around the,
around
up and
the
down.
World.
Finally, after 2 months, and especially the America, the country of America, just at the federal level, kind of like figuring out how do we resolve this? The EPA actually sends inspectors out to get on the garbage boat.
Oh my God.
And go and look in the garbage and inspect it. And there's like, okay, there's nothing hazardous here. It's piles of paper and, it's not medicinal waste. It was more than 100 days out on the ocean.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine, like, you thought it was going to be a few days.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'll make some good money in a couple days.
Well, he thought he was going to make money. And it is estimated that, Lowell Harrelson, who was sort of putting the money up for this thing, lost $1 million.
Oh.
Lost $1 million because he had to keep sailing the ship around and couldn't do anything with it. It goes back to New York and they work out a deal with an incinerator in Brooklyn that incinerates the garbage, and then it ends up being buried as ash in the landfill that it was originally going to be buried in the first place before this whole thing ever started. Now, of course, the funny thing is the story of the Mobro 4000, which was the name of the barge, it's seen as being the major catalyst that kicked off the recycling movement in the late 1980s. Whether that was for the right reasons or not, the sight of this ship sailing around
a floating trash heap
did actually get people to
attention.
Start recycling.
Oh, that's good.
Right,
that's good.
right.
Oh. Oh, fun fact. So I did do the Keys of the Kingdom tour in Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
When I went, you talked about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Did they take you underneath the
yes,
tunnels?
Yes, they did. I went under. It's fascinating. But anyways, one of the coolest things, though, is their trash operation
for
Disney World. Super high tech.
I bet.
They have a compactor.
Yeah.
Depending on the wind, the garbage smell will flow into the park. So one of the ways to, I guess, to battle that is when, the smell, like the air comes up on like the roofs of buildings, there are these rings.
What?
That basically air would pass through. It sprays Febreze. Like,
onto the,
ooh.
So when it
just
knows
into air.
That
they're just
air.
Putting
like,
giant Febreze into the air.
Wow. Yeah. Can you see them when you're in the park? Can you see the hoops?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Wow.
Cause I was in the back lot, so I saw it. And I asked the tour guide, I was like, you say Febreze. I was like, do you mean brand Febreze?
Right.
And she said,
capital
yes.
FTM.
Yes. So I was like thinking, I was like, oh, that was a deal. Capital F Febreze.
Yeah.
Not just any type. But yeah, they take their garbage serious.
Oh, yeah. That place, you never want to see a piece of garbage and you never want to smell garbage.
And so most of the time, if someone is on a Walt Disney World ride and something drops, they can most likely retrieve your sunglasses or your hat that you dropped in a ride.
Yeah.
The only place they cannot guarantee.
Wait, let me try to figure this out. They cannot guarantee.
One of the water rides?
Jungle Cruise?
Splash Mountain.
Really?
Because that Splash Mountain water gets super filtered and cleaned. It goes through so much. So
because it gets on so many people.
If you lose a cap, it goes through, like, basically, I don't know, car wash and gears and stuff. It gets shredded. Like, it can't even retrieve it.
It gets sucked out and you lose it.
Yeah.
Right.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia. Every single week, movies, music, even science and Disney, we've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. Yay! The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All right, and we have one last segment about trash. Colin, I'm going to toss it to you.
Ha!
Boom.
This past weekend, I was camping out in Yosemite, as I think you guys know. It was beautiful. I don't know if you've ever been camping out there before.
Did you see bears?
I didn't see any bears, but believe me, the I don't want to say the threat of bears, but the presence of bears is always on your mind.
Yeah.
Every campsite has a bear box. You guys know what a bear box
is? Yeah, you store all your stuff there so that they can't open it.
Yeah, and they're super hard to open because, man, bears are smart and they love food. So
you remember in one of our older episodes, we had a bizarre headline. It was the bear, I think in New Jersey, who broke into a house and ate Costco meatballs from the fridge.
Yeah.
So it can go through into a house, open the fridge.
Yeah.
And know that the Costco meatballs are good. Delicious.
Yeah. And eat them.
Microwave them.
Right. Microwave them. Put just a little bit of sriracha on them.
He got it on power level 8. I don't even know how to do that.
Right.
They take it seriously. They're like, you know, a big note on the bear box. Basically, if you don't put all your food trash, all your food waste, everything, anything with a scent, so like sunblock even, you know, like scented moist wipes, anything that has any kind of fragrance goes in their bear box. And if they come by your campsite and you're not there with stuff out, they will impound your stuff. If it's in your car, they'll impound your car. They will write you a citation. It's $5,000 fine. They take it really seriously in the wilderness.
So if... Wait, hold on. If I leave a bag of Cheetos in my car, I get fined.
They can and will.
They can.
If they come across your car and see that you've left your car with food in there, you will get cited. Absolutely, but so, you know, camping this past week, it's funny. Even before I knew we'd be talking about trash was really on my mind when I go camping. I'm always amazed.
I love that song.
And reminded.
Always on my mind. Trash is old.
How much trash you can generate on an average day. It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, when you're down to the essential, going out into the woods, you know, even if you're just doing really light kind of car camping, it's incredible. Just the basic act of feeding yourself and keeping yourself clean can generate so much trash.
Like just eating 6 mozzarella sticks in a row. It's like 7 wrappers.
Where's the 7?
Well, to wrap all of the mozzarella sticks together.
I practice the basic philosophy of being a good camper. If you pack it in, you pack it out. That's it. It's anything that comes in with you, you take it back out with you. And it sounds really simple, but a lot of people they'll cut corners, they'll leave trash around. I think we've even had this at Pub Quiz. It's, you know, the philosophy of leave no trace, right? And then that really is. It's like, as you're camping.
Murderers and campers.
Yeah, it's true. You don't want to make sure no one knows you were there, whether you're murdering someone or out in the woods. A lot of people think that burying the food scraps is fine. They're like, oh, okay, as long as it's organic food scraps, I don't need to pack out my apple cores. I don't need to pack out, you know, but no, you really do. You need to pack out everything that you pack in. And, you know, even if you dig it, let's say 6 or 8 inches under the ground, you're like, oh, that'll decompose, right? It's organic. And it's true. Eventually, something that you bury will decompose, but not quickly enough for forest animals. You know, I mean, it's like if you're a woodland creature, you literally make your living on being able to sniff out food sources. So it won't be in the ground long enough. It'll attract small animals, big animals. They'll dig it up, and then they start acquiring a taste for human food, human scraps. It's not good. It's really bad. So either eat it all or pack it out with you as you go. So that's a little bit of the trash etiquette around getting food into your body while camping. I think we all know where this was going to end up, though. Let's turn our attention to the processes around getting food out of your body, which is why I would like to formally introduce this segment as Pooping in the Woods.
Yeah. Hey.
If you're out in the woods...
I am... My jaw is open.
Karen's jaw is open.
I never thought of that.
If you're out in the woods for more than an afternoon, there is a pretty good chance that you will be pooping in the woods, especially if you're out trail camping. You know, I mean, if you're car camping or RV camping, there are often bathrooms, even with flushable toilets there. But no, if you're out on the trail, you got to do your business. You know, you're dig a hole. Hopefully you got a trowel with you. So this is a multiple choice question. If you poop in the woods, is it best to A, bury your toilet paper along with your poop? B, burn your toilet paper in the campfire? Or C, pack out your toilet paper with you? And before you answer, thinking that any of these are tricks, I will tell you that I have done all three of these in my camping life.
Wow!
Okay. A,
so good, better, best.
A, bury it with your poop. B, burn it in the fire. C, pack it out with you. What is the best course of action? Karen says B, burn it. Dana says C, pack it out with you. Chris says C, pack it out with you. That is the best course of action.
It's not best for you. Not personally. Best for you personally.
No.
Certainly not best for your traveling companions, but I'm guessing that's probably of all the things that you've told us now about the woods and what you gotta do.
You
gotta put it into a toilet paper bag and carry it
that's
with you.
That's absolutely right. That is the most leave no trace solution. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But your poop is there.
Well, you know, it's...
Wait, do you bring your poop with you?
No, you don't bring your poop with you. You can leave the poop in a hole in the ground and cover it up. Clean yourself up as tidily as you can. Put it in maybe a Ziploc bag. Bring it home and throw it away when you get home. You know, now, if you cannot or choose not to decide to pack out your toilet paper with you, you can bury it along with the poop, as long as it's deep enough, you know, 6 to 8 inches.
Now, let's revisit the burn it in a fire answer, which sounds to me like the worst possible idea.
Chris,
I'm so glad
you brought us back to that.
And I really, if you're gonna do it, I wouldn't recommend doing it before you cook dinner over the fire.
That's while they're roasting s'mores.
You know, that's actually not the problem. What's your logic? Go ahead.
Assuming you're already going to have a fire to burn it so that, like, any germs or bacteria or whatever contracted is
it's
gone.
You know, it makes sense. Now, here's the problem, all right? So please just try and picture me the danger inherent to this situation.
Okay.
You're out camping in the woods, all right? You're surrounded by many large, usually flammable trees.
Yeah.
A lot of dead wood and dead pine needles on the ground, typically. Now, when you put something that's paper into the fire, particularly a little wad of paper made out of something really light, like tissue paper or toilet paper. What happens is there's a phenomenon as it burns, it will get lighter and it will eventually float away and turn into a little mini poop covered lantern, basically. So imagine sending, what could go wrong sending little mini poop covered flaming lanterns out into the forest?
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful in its own way.
Is there a way to burn it in the fire such that it does not happen?
If you're going to burn it in the fire, you know, try and just get it in the middle so it burns as quickly as possible. Hold it down. The bigger the wad, the less likely it's going to be to float away.
If you can put it on a stick and put it, roast it like a marshmallow.
It's funny. It's also horrifying. Because what are you? Yeah. You're not going to catch it out of the air with your hand.
Yeah. Somebody get it.
All right. So now you know how to poop in the woods and not offend anybody.
Wow. Thank goodness.
All right.
Never knew this. Yeah.
All right, and that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learn a lot about trash. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.